Nice to be with you. I can hardly believe that we are basically at the middle of October. Is anyone else having that calendar whiplash? Yeah, so the middle of October means many things, probably, but it means here at the River that we are just about at the halfway mark of our month of fall challenge. This month, many of us have committed to a couple of focused spiritual practices, one a daily prayer practice, and the other at least one weekly relational connection with someone else. And we do this in the hope that God will use these practices to grow us in wholeness in our relationships, that our relationships would become more satisfying, more healthy, more meaningful. Being halfway means a couple of things. It means it's not really too late yet to join us. So if you're just finding out about this morning, and as we talk about it throughout the morning, if you find yourself curious or intrigued, 2 weeks, the second half of the fall challenge, is not too little a time to have a meaningful experience. So I still warmly welcome you to join us. Halfway also, for me, means it's a good time to refresh. Why are we doing this again? What is the point? And particularly this morning, I want to focus in on what is the point of the daily prayer practice part of our fall challenge. Next week, Brad will talk some more about our relational connections. But this morning, what is the hope? What are we engaging in this possibly twice daily devotional all month long for? The reason I feel like this is helpful, it's always helpful to renew vision in the midst of a challenge that we're doing, but I also think that it's quite possible many of us have had the experience of feeling like our attempt to have a daily prayer practice consistently is kind of fraught. It seems like it's what we do in the Christian life. It seems like a good thing, but we value honesty here at the River, and as I listen, and as I have my own experience, I think it's the case that many of us are often a little bit underwhelmed in the place of prayer. And if we went all the way there, we could say that sometimes we actually find prayer a little bit boring. So what my hope this morning is to help us once again refresh in our imagination and in our hope for what can happen in the place of prayer. What are we to expect? What can we be looking for? Now, there's certainly a whole handful of answers to what is happening in the place of prayer. They're complementary and they overlap. This morning, I'd like to focus our attention on one of them, and that's this: the idea that prayer is the space in which we learn to live in friendship with God. Prayer is the space in which we learn to live in friendship with God, where we learn to be with God and to talk with God in a friend-like way. So I'm aware, putting out this category of friendship with God, that it can be a little mind-bending, because in our human experience, friendship is essentially mutual and it's very embodied. We know we're with our friend when we're with them in the body. So how, with a God who is, you know, essentially other than us and is largely invisible to us, can we share friendship? It requires making some space in our mind for a new dimension of friendship. But what is true and parallel, I think, to our experience of the best of human friendship is that the Scripture again and again reveals to us, and nowhere more pointedly than in the life of Jesus, how God is a God who desires relationship, desires connection with his people. Right? The story of Jesus in the New Testament, if you're familiar with it, it's filled with encounters that Jesus has that demonstrate the love of God, expressed through empathy that Jesus feels for the people that he's with. Jesus shows us a picture of God who listens well, who likes to hear people's story, and who is available to help in the places where people need help. Jesus reveals to us a God who is loyal, a God who is not afraid to tell the people that he's with the truth. And perhaps most surprisingly and maybe most meaningfully to me, the scripture reveals Jesus as a person who prioritized space to be alone and quiet, but the scripture also says of Jesus that he eagerly desired to be with his disciples. Jesus eagerly desired to be with people. God isn't with us just because it's the right thing to do or for some other agenda. The scripture reveals God as one who desires connection to us. That's pretty phenomenal when you pause on it for a moment. God desires connection with us. And connection that has elements of a friendship-like connection. And prayer, there is a space in the life of Jesus where Jesus is explicit about this. In the critical conversations that Jesus had with his followers toward the end of his life, this is one of the things he said to them. He said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that I have learned, everything that I know about God is available to you." See, friendship with God can never be entirely mutual, like a human relationship. But Jesus says that it is the heart of God to trust people with the fullness of God. It is the heart of God to trust people. God offers himself fully in friendship, creating a deep sharing of life and purpose with God's people. And prayer is the context for establishing that kind of friendship with God. We see this explicitly in the Old Testament leader, Moses. You might be familiar with Moses. Moses was the one who led the people of Israel through their years in the desert en route to the Promised Land. And in the midst of that context, we read this about Moses' relationship with God in Exodus chapter 33. It says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their own tents, watching Moses until he entered. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their own tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, did not leave the tent." The place of prayer was the place that Moses and God were face to face. It was a focused space. Moses didn't always stay there. He didn't live in the tent of meeting, but he went there regularly for that kind of focused conversation that is available to friends. Face to face. I want to invite you to just think for a minute about a good conversation that you may have had in the last while with a friend of yours, sometime maybe in the last month or two. Can you think about a conversation that you enjoyed with a friend in your life? Maybe it was a catch-up conversation, you know, kind of long and newsy about what's been going on. Maybe it was a space for you to kind of download emotionally after a difficult day or week. Or maybe it was an excited conversation about something that you shared in common, a good meal that you enjoyed, or a show that you both watch. Conversation among friends can have a variety of topics, But the best of them are all connective. They share that in common. Whether they're literally face-to-face or not, conversation between friends pulls us toward one another. It connects us. And that's the kind of conversational friendship that Moses shared with God, the kind of conversational friendship that is available to us as well. So I wonder, have you experienced life with God and the space of prayer in that way? Can you imagine experiencing life with God and the place of prayer that way? Because my hope is that in hearing some of how it is that we see God relating with people, and specifically Moses, our sense of expectation, our sense of hope might grow for what God is offering us. But we're always left with that question of like, well, then how would you get there? And I don't know, obviously, exactly how it is that Moses learned to relate to God in this face-to-face, like a friend way. I can tell you, though, that one of the tools that has been helpful to me in my journey of experiencing God in a friend-like way, and I know it's not just mine, it's been true for many Christ followers throughout the ages, is that God has actually used my literal imagination to help me grow to experience God as a friend. Author and retreat leader Jean Wise says this about the imagination. She says, "Imagination is a powerful, yet often overlooked gift of God. It engages the mind, body, and soul in experiencing the holy. It deepens us into God, not staying on the outside of the words, but entering right into the word that is God. Imagination is another way of knowing and loving God." See, our imagination was given to us by God. And when directed by the Holy Spirit, our imagination is one of the links that can make the intangibleness of God more tangible, that could make something like the concept of God offering us a relationship that has friendship-like qualities a little more specific. So let me give you an example from my own life. The first time that I ever really remember being encouraged to use my imagination as a tool in prayer and in my life with God was a number of years ago when I was parenting a baby and a toddler. Those years, they were few, but they were long, and they were hard for me. There's the characteristic lack of sleep that was in the equation. But it was also a very active time in my house. And those of you who know me know that I sort of prefer a more slow and paced existence. And there was also just, honestly, a steep learning curve for me in prioritizing the care and well-being of these little people first, every day, all day long. I rarely felt at my best. And part of the mix of that was that I had lost any semblance of a regular rhythm of prayer. And I could not find my way readily, or I couldn't stay in the place of being gracious to myself about that. I felt like I really should be able to do it better. So in that context, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who heard my despair and distaste with myself for not having a regular rhythm of prayer. And she just encouraged me to do this. She said, "What if you just imagined Jesus sitting with you in your exhaustion and in your disappointment at the end of every day? What if you just sat yourself down on the couch and just imagined Jesus there with you?" That was not like any kind of prayer that I had ever experienced before. But I trusted my friend, and I was a little desperate. And I will tell you that over time, that prayer practice, using my imagination to kind of picture God with me in this place in my life, the impact of that was profound. I had assumed a distance between God and myself because I wasn't doing stuff right, and this closed that gap. And also, the tangibility of God sitting with me in my self-proclaimed patheticness at that time made my experience of what I knew to be true about God so much more vivid. I knew that God was gentle and tender and compassionate and forbearing, but then I like felt it when I sat with him on the couch in my exhaustion and my disappointment. I experienced something of felt friendship with God. See, our imagination can be a powerful tool in prayer and in things like experiencing God as a friend. And I'll tell you that I don't consider myself to be a person of like vivid or active imagination, so that's not required here. All of us have been given an imagination, and whether it's as it works sort of as simply as the imagining of someone sitting next to you on the couch, or whether it gets really particular and vivid, the imagination can be a gift. So I want to offer you one more example, maybe a more recent and common one, before I invite us to engage our imagination in connecting us with God in a friendship-like way this morning. Just a week ago, on Saturday, I was taking time to do the morning devotional for our fall challenge. But as I came to this particular devotional, I was out of sorts. I am a very, I prefer, you heard this in my early parenting journey, I prefer a regular rhythm to life and even regular surroundings. So this day, I was out of place. I was in my car in a random parking lot. I was making use of a space of break in a volleyball tournament that I was supporting my son in, and I was trying to make it a space of prayer, but it just didn't feel right. I wasn't comfortable, but I was trying. So I set my timer. I was going to do 2 minutes of silence, but there was very little silence happening on my insides, and I was very tempted to just throw in the towel or to just sort of coast my way through it so at least I could have the satisfaction of checking off my list that I did my morning prayer that day. But I had a grace-filled moment where I felt God remind me that I could ask for help and I could use my imagination to try to make this space a more connective space. And so I just pictured Jesus there in the passenger seat with me in my car that morning in the random parking lot and waiting for the next volleyball game. And because I've been practicing this imagination for a while, I could also imagine in Jesus' eye a knowing look. A knowing look that says, I know this isn't your preferred way of doing things. I know this is a little hard for you, but we're here together. And it's going to be okay. So let's continue. To me, that was the grace of imagination helping me into friendship with God. You know, like anything, the use of imagination in prayer to connect us with God and God's offer of friendship, it takes some cultivating. It may not feel very natural at first. But I appreciate how South African pastor Trevor Hudson writes about the friendship journey with God. He says, God's transforming friendship is invitational. It's always inviting us in. And it promises to be an unfolding journey. There's a sense of adventure. It comes in stages. But friendships do not mature overnight. They take time to grow as two people share together, listen to each other's life stories, and slowly move into each other's worlds. The same progression is true of our relationship with God. So I find these words hopeful and honest or realistic. They help me know what to expect. Last week, Grace taught us and encouraged us who are engaged with the Fall Challenge to really make use of these repeated 2 minutes of silence in the devotional. The daily devotional begins each time with 2 minutes of silence and ends each time with 2 minutes of silence. And knowing us, she said, don't skip that part. It's tempting to skip that part, but try not to skip it. And I want to say this week that as you don't skip it, maybe there's an opportunity to use those 2 minutes of silence to ask God to teach you how to use your imagination to more deeply experience the reality that God is inviting you to friendship. Just to ask God to show you how God's with you in friendship in some pictorial way in your mind. And like I said, I'd like to invite us to do that together this morning. We are going to, as we have done every week in this season of Fall Challenge, take some substantial space in the midst of our worship to do one of the devotional practices together. This is a way that we support our individual practice. It's also a way in which we actually feel the communal nature. You know, each of us who are doing this are doing it in our own corners of the valley, but in these few moments, we can experience how we engage God together. So when you came in this morning, hopefully you received a page that has the words of the devotional that we'll focus on this morning. That's lifted straight from the devotional book that we've been using. Let me give you just a little sense for how this will unfold. I'm going to guide us with the use of our imagination into an initial 2 minutes of silence. And you'll know that that 2 minutes is over when you hear the chime in the sound system. And then you'll have about 8 minutes to read and to reflect on your own with the words that are there for you on the page. And then we'll close again with 2 more minutes of silence, led into and out of by a chime sound. And after that, the band will come and lead us in worship. But recognizing that you have been sitting and listening for a while, if you need to shift your body just a little bit to kind of adjust into a space to ready yourself for silence, you can do that. And then when you find a relaxed and alert posture, I want to invite you, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes and to just take a couple of deep breaths. Paying attention to our breath can give us a space to focus and can also help us to be present to this moment that we're in. And as we get ready to share this time with God, I want to invite you to begin by just opening your imagination and imagine yourself in some particular place, a physical place, where you feel comfortable and content. A peaceful place in your world. It could be a cozy corner of your home, or maybe some special place you like to go outside where you walk or sit, even a table in a favorite cafe. Imagine yourself there, what it feels like. And then imagine in your mind's eye a friend arriving to join you. You're really glad to see them. And you invite them to sit down or to walk with you and just to enjoy the space together. Feel what the gift of friendship feels like in your body. Now, because you know that God offers to be with you in a friendship-like way, I want to invite you to just let the physical particulars of your friend and your imagination blur and open yourself to the reality that this could be God coming to you with friendship in this space. Enjoy being with God in friendship in the silence for the next 2 minutes.